It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
What's wrong with you?
The little things on the monitor do weird stuff when I do that. It's fun to watch. It's like my own personal cartoon.
That's cool.
Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that's a breath mint and a candy mint. It's two mints in one. Sorry, it's two mints in one.
A breath mint.
And a candy mint.
I didn't know there was a difference between. I mean,
this is the thing. Don't you remember? This is Sert's. This was Sert's campaign for years.
Yeah, two.
Well, and people would argue first. They'd say it's a breath mint. They say no, it's a candy mint.
But that's what they were arguing.
It's yes, a candy and then mint? And then somebody would step in. Yeah, whether it's just a piece of candy or whether it's to freshen your breath.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and they would say, "Stop! You're both right." Interesting fact I learned.
It's funny, I remember that campaign, but I don't remember what the two mints in one... I don't remember what the two mints were, I just remember them saying, it's two mints in one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like a flavor thing, like
no. And that mint. It's a breath mint, it's a candy mint, it's a breath mint, it's a candy mint. Stop, you're both right.
Candy mint.
Yes. Interesting little epilogue to that advertising campaign. Okay. At a certain point, I believe in the 70s, it had to be officially and legally, by order of the government, determined whether it was a breath mint or a candy mint. Hmm. And it was, in fact, and I'll tell you why. Because, at the time, possibly still true now, but at the time, the tariffs for candy versus the tariffs for oral hygiene products were different. And so in order to determine the tax rate for, I believe, maybe exporting them, I'm not sure, they had to decide, and it was a genuine court case. It went to court where the search people argued that it was a breath mint, because I think that was the lower rate. And they argued that it was a breath mint because it stimulated the production of saliva, which would clean out your mouth. And I forget what else. But it was all bullshit, and they decided it was a candy mint. So it's a candy mint. It's not a breath mint. So there. Hmm. Also, Retsin, you know, starts with Retsin.
Yeah.
Do you know what Retsin is?
No.
It's a proprietary blend of flavoring. Some sort of oil, like cottonseed oil or something like that, and copper glucomate, which is what the little green flecks are in there. So there's copper in there.
Okay.
Tasty.
You know way too much about this stuff.
Wikipedia is a hell of a drug, is what I'm saying. Anyway, back to hello, which we had you at, or something. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that's going to talk this long about certs. I'm alternate world Tony.
And I'm alternate world William, I guess.
And we have no idea what episode this is.
No.
Because we don't count. In so many ways, that's a really multi-layered phrase to say that we don't count.
Yeah, I guess it's that's sad. True.
For those of you just joining us for the first time, and by us, I mean the podcast, the basics here is we have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. you can write this email address with your questions, comments, topics, whatever. TheMagicalTalkingHat at gmail.com. Once again, that email address is TheMagicalTalkingHat at gmail.com. Funny story, in our dimension, that's a swear word. Anyway, you email the hat, and the hat magically on its own transmogrifies your emails into little note cards. If you write a little too much, it has to abbreviate some of them, but into little note cards that materialize inside of the hat. We draw them out at random and talk about them till we're bored. That's the show. For those of you joining us for the first time, and this time I mean us, the alternate dimensional versions, we show up anytime the other bastards can't be bothered.
Yeah, something, you know, we were saying the hat's magical. One of the powers it has, I guess, is that it exists in all versions of reality, including the original guys.
I feel like you're jumping the gun there. We only know it exists in two versions of reality.
Well, I don't care how many it exists in, but it exists in there.
Although, to be fair, that could be all the versions of reality. We don't know. There's only two.
It exists in that reality and in this one. And so whenever they can't do the podcast for some reason, we end up doing it, which is kind of a strange thing that happens.
So it's like original recipe universe and extra crispy universe. Yeah. Which one are we? I'm not sure.
And, you know, we have goatees.
Yes. Sorry, this is also an evil universe.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, evil universe. And I have a full beard.
With a goatee on it.
With a goatee on it.
Yeah.
Which is not that unusual a fashion statement here. So
no, not here. No. Lots of people do it.
No. Yeah, it's very common here.
Actually, pretty much people started doing it after you did. You were kind of a trendsetter. You don't really, you're very modest. You don't really talk about that, but
I've done so many great things. I feel weird specifying one.
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
True.
I
just happened to notice that. When you did it, I mean, everyone was doing it.
I don't want to overemphasize, but I have, in essence, been all things to all people.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So,
and to be clear, everybody already had goatees. It was the beard part.
Yeah,
the
beard underneath.
That was the innovation.
Goatees come with the job.
Everybody's got it,
if you're going to be born in this universe, you know, you get your membership card.
But growing
and
a
your
beard and having
underneath
a goatee on, I mean, that was genius, really. I mean, I can't believe someone didn't think of it before.
I'm not going to lie. I got chilly in my face.
Oh, really? Well, you know, what they say is necessity is the mother of beards.
I have a weird love-hate relationship with the phrase, I'm not going to lie. It seems to mostly come up on cop shows with drunk people. And at first I just thought it was the stupidest and most pointless phrase ever. As time has gone on, I've found it's quite useful. Because I feel like we all just assume, to some degree or another, we're all just lying to everybody else. And so it's handy to say, right here, in this instance, not gonna lie.
Well, it's a very different thing from saying, I'll be honest with you. Because when someone says, I'll be honest with you, that doesn't necessarily mean they were going to lie to you. It just means that maybe they were going to hold back a little piece of information because it was undiplomatic to say it. But to say, I'm not going to lie, does imply you were tempted to say, tell a lie.
That was the standard.
Or that you would normally lie in this circumstance, but you're not going to now.
And of course,
that must be why I never say that.
There's, because he lies a lot. And he's never tempted away from that path. He's like it. You know how sometimes you lie, and for a moment you're like, should I really lie? William doesn't have that. He goes for it. He commits instantly. This is either going to be a lie or a not lie moment. But I do find, you know, the one hole in this whole thing. What if, when you say, I'm not going to lie, you're lying? Whole thing goes out the window then.
Yeah, it gets really complicated
really
fast.
So really, you only have people's word for it that they're telling the truth
about not lying.
Yeah.
Or about lying, I should say.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's complicated. Yeah, so I have a very weird relationship with that phrase. goes way back. We dated in high school, then we lost touch for a while. It's weird. I'm kind of tired.
I can tell.
Yeah.
We've had a rough... let me start over. We've had it pretty rough over here lately. Things in the alternate universe have been really weird. I mean, the timing for the guys over there to not do a podcast couldn't be worse.
No, it's bad. War? No.
I don't know if we have to talk about it. I mean, they talk about their stuff over there, and it's really annoying.
Okay, let's just say, when you say the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, not true.
No.
Really not true.
A lot of people say that, but I think they're trying to sort of comfort themselves.
Yeah, no.
By thinking that's really, it's not. It's not so. Lots of things out there to fear other than fear.
And also when people say, what's the worst that can happen? It's generally just sort of, they don't really know. We know.
Yeah.
We know what the worst is that can happen. And when people say hungry enough to eat a horse, I've said too much. It's not good. Yeah, I'm just saying it's bad.
We probably just shouldn't even.
And when the mattress tags say, do not remove, don't do it.
I just wish they hadn't done it. I mean, it says right there.
I know. And it implies that somebody did before and they had to make the warning.
Yeah. And I realize we're in an evil universe, but all the more important to take things like that seriously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Hello. Again, you know, those guys talk about their stuff. I don't want to be like them.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah. So let's just get to the hat and not talk about our stuff. They're not going to care anyway. Nobody cares about the alternate universe.
I'm pretty sure they don't listen to the podcast. that looks really weird on the thing, by the way.
Can you make that noise?
It's very interesting. Try it at home and see what kind of pictures you see.
Breaking out the hat. Drawing a question, comment, or observation from the hat.
I'm just making random sound effects.
From a listener named Craig.
Craig? That would probably be Craig, lately of Slough, originally of Scotland.
This is really strange, because it seems to me the last time, or maybe the time before, I mean, we don't know what order these are happening over there, but one of the times...
I assumed all these episodes are happening simultaneously.
Oh. Well, one of the times that we've done this for the guys over there, a question like this was asked.
Maybe the hat thinks we're the best experts for this kind of thing.
To talk about something that's going on over there? That's not even happening over here.
I don't know. Maybe whole outside view.
We'll do it again here. Dear the Magical Talking Hat.
Yes.
Any thoughts / comments on all the recent data surveillance revelations? Don't you remember they asked us this before? Well, or after? I don't know what the order is. But for us, before.
I feel like the people who have asked this are Brits, by and large.
Well, actually,
it's a bigger thing.
It's interesting because since when they asked before, we didn't know very much about it. We talked about how, you know, we liked that it was happening over there because, you know, we're evil.
Yeah.
And that we probably wouldn't like it happening over here. We didn't say very much about it. No. But this has come up before.
Have you been doing evil research?
Yes. I know that I do that a lot.
Yes. He's very big. Just for a hobby. He does evil research.
But I always got the impression it kind of annoyed you that I did that. Like, why are you looking into the other universe, listening to those podcasts?
It's evil nerdy.
Okay.
But, you know, as long as it's evil, I'm good.
And here are my thoughts.
You should see him make an evil sandwich.
Here are my thoughts. To me, it's pretty obvious that it's bad. I mean, all around bad, no matter how you look at it. At least for the people over there, it's bad. It from the perspective of the people who live in the United States, as it's called over there, it violates laws and principles and everything. Even if you disregard certain beliefs and principles that a lot of Americans or citizens of the United States have.
Which we do.
It's unprincipled. It's wrong. It's unethical. It's everything's wrong with it, and it shouldn't be done. And all of the justifications that are offered for it by the people in charge are shallow and lame. And I suspect even they know how stupid they sound, but they're top level politicians, so they have to say what they're saying.
Well, okay, let me play that card here. Let me play boss's advocate, as we say over here in the evil world.
Okay.
It makes things safer.
No, it doesn't.
Why not? We can see what's going on all over the place, so people can't be all mugging folks in that corner because we got them on camera. We'll go get them.
No, you don't understand. What you're saying presumes that the people... My research does not indicate that it's even that effective in stopping... The leaders and the politicians and all those people claim that they've thwarted attacks and that they've found out people by doing this. But let's maybe address the question in a different way. The problem that most people have with this, really there should be a problem with all of it, because it's too much of a slippery slope for the government to have any of these powers and controls in the first place. But even for people who accept that the government should be able to monitor the communications and the metadata or whatever of the so-called bad guys, what's making people upset is that it's not just the so-called bad guys that are being monitored. It's everybody, really. It's people getting scooped up into a wide net. And
but that's how we find out that some of those good guys were bad guys, and we get them.
That's the claim, but there's no evidence to support the notion that if we just collect everybody's data, that this is somehow going to make us more effective. In fact,
so there's not a procedural argument you have against it. It's essentially a statistical one. It's not doing what it's saying.
Well, there is a statistical argument to say that, yeah. I think, yeah. Okay. In fact, you're just creating more data for everyone to sort of swim through and sift through. There's got to be a better way to find the people that you're really trying to monitor. Right. I suppose the argument is that, well, we're able to create this huge database and search for these keywords that people are using in posts and discussions and stuff, but that can't possibly be very effective. There's no word you can search for that's going to narrow down the conversations and the suspect list so small that it's efficient.
I feel like you've said suspect licks before on this podcast. I do.
Anyway, so
and especially with all the people who troll the keywords, so
basically there's any way you look at it, any way you slice it, it's bad, wrong, evil. I mean, everything negative that people are saying about it, it's bad.
That was just my first argument. I have two others. My second one, this may not be the protective solution that the world needs, but it's the one it deserves.
Well, of course, the suspicion is that, the whole thing about catching terrorists and stuff, that's just... Yeah, they care about that, but really, they don't mind collecting all this data on everybody because it's just handy to have. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just people going after terrorists that's using it. I mean, people in other criminal investigations are using it, to catch ordinary criminals and people up on drug charges or burglary or murder, perhaps. And, yes, we all want violent criminals to be captured and so on. But the United States, in particular, has a history philosophically to favor adopting policies that are going to err on the side of letting guilty people go. And the classic example is innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
The idea that you're innocent until proven guilty, everybody acknowledges that if we take that seriously and we, when we go into court and we serve on a jury, we put a strong burden of proof on the part of the prosecution that they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this person is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The practical result of that is that some people who are actually guilty, actually in point of fact guilty, are going to get by with it because there wasn't enough evidence to convict them.
And the bit, what is it, the better 1,000 guilty men go free than 1 innocent man condemned.
The reason we can tolerate those guilty people going free is because presumably also an innocent person will go free.
Yes.
And it's worth the cost for a few guilty people to go free if also all of the innocent people go free. That general idea can be applied to a lot of things. And in the United States, the way it's applied to things like surveillance and whatever is, it's not worth the sacrifice of individual liberties and privacy for us to go after. You know, we're willing to let some people get by with terrible acts because we think it's also a terrible act to monitor someone who isn't guilty, to put someone in jail who isn't guilty. Two wrongs don't make a right, basically, is the philosophy here. And it's a violation of the basic principles of the United States, presumably, or, you know, so-called, to be doing this kind of thing. And everybody knows it. Everybody who defends it knows it. And so, I mean, it's really as simple as that. So then the next question is, well, then why...
Wait, I have my third argument.
Okay, go ahead.
The third argument. Think of the children.
So the next question is...
Are you thinking?
Why is it that this has happened, and even though it's created a lot of response from people and people have been upset, everyone knows it's not going to change anything. Well, because they've been doing it for a very long time, and it's just the government, the United States government, is in a place where really the federal government can almost do anything it wants, even if it breaks open and everyone hears about it, everyone's going to complain about it for a while, but then they'll forget about it, and the United States government can keep doing whatever it's doing. So,
okay, here's what you do to combat this.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
No, here's what you do. This is what I do. You should do it, too. If enough of us do it, it's going to stop.
Well, us? You mean over there? If they do it?
Okay.
Because we don't.
We
don't have this problem here.
Yeah, now suddenly you're back on the evil kick after that big heartfelt speech. Anyway.
This is how I'd feel if I was them, but I don't really care.
He takes pennies. He doesn't leave pennies. Anyway, here's what you guys do. You get 2 email accounts. All right. Just make sure you have 2. Every day, take a photo with your webcam of your junk and email it from one account to the other account. The traffic is out there. They got to capture it, look at it. If they have to keep looking at enough people's junk, they're going to be like, this is not worth finding terrorists. We need to stop this.
I somehow don't think that's a very good plan.
It needs a lot of buy-in. Everybody has to do it. So everybody, start taking pictures of your junk and just email them to yourself. Don't send them out there. We know that can be bad. Just to yourself.
We know that can be bad.
But
those are my thoughts, and you don't have any other thoughts except the stuff you're saying. Really?
Generally speaking, in my life, only the stuff that comes out of my mouth.
You're saying right now about it, thoughts. I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it boring.
All right, well, let's draw something else then.
I find it boring evil. Yes, it's evil. Yes, we all know it. What the fuck? But let's be fair. All the stuff you just said translates to, yes, we know it's evil. No, we can't really do anything about it. What the fuck? See? So I'm just more... Brevity is the... As a great man once said, brevity is the S of W.
Yep. No, don't do that. Don't do what you're about to do. I'm not going to say what you're about to do. I don't want you to do what you're about to do. Go ahead and draw something out of the hat. Because if you do that, we're going to get a lot of complaints, and rightly so, because it's annoying. So don't do it.
We only ever got one complaint before.
We only ever got one. And who did it come from?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
some guy.
Probably someone whose one complaint counts for about 10. And 10 is a big number for us.
10's all I listen to.
Exactly. So don't do it.
I feel like there's a problem with this formula.
Don't do it. Are you going to swallow it? Usually people put drugs in there before they swallow
it. Oh, yeah. Give me some drugs. Okay.
People are really going to wonder what we're talking about. Maybe they'll figure it out. I don't know.
Oh, that tastes bad.
Yes, it does. So why were you doing that?
I'm essentially like a 2-year-old in a lot of ways. Mm. So I put things in my mouth. I poop myself. I haven't figured out how to hold more than 2 objects at once. The world goes to sleep when I close my eyes. All that stuff.
Okay.
This is from Blood Sparrow. Hard hat number 2.
All right. It's always good to have a Blood Sparrow question. She has good ones.
It's not a question.
Or comments. Whatever she submits.
It's always sort good. Of a command.
Oh, well.
As it was.
I don't remember us having one of those before.
Dear Magical Talking Hat. Tell me a story about a bunny.
About a bunny?
About a bunny.
Oh.
Once upon a time, there was a bunny with a switchblade. You know, I still have that at work. People get very confused.
Have what?
The bunny with the switchblade.
Oh.
That you gave me.
I gave you?
Yes.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Bunny with a switchblade.
Do you ever remember a lop-eared rabbit with a switchblade that went snicked?
No. Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
He went on. He had an issue with Santa Claus and eventually, I believe, killed Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and took over all the powers of the holidays. It was adorable, but he was an asshole. And he's popular enough that they sold merchandising. And one year, my boss, knowing how much I loved this webcomic that we both read, bought me a plush version of this bunny.
I did.
From Sluggy Freelance.
I did that.
Yes.
Are you sure it was me?
I am sure. Sluggy Freelance, a webcomic we used to read, it had a bunny character in it that was a jerk and had a switchblade. And you, for the holidays one year...
I did this.
Yes. You always did fairly customizable holiday gifts.
Well, I know, but I don't remember this at all.
There were 3 of them.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You gave me the
bunny. You gave me the dragon on a mushroom.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And you gave me the stickfa.
Yeah. I don't remember that bunny thing.
Ugh. This is a story about a young man whose heart was broken. Unfortunately, it was broken after he was no longer young, so he probably can't call himself a young man.
No. I remember the other things, I just don't remember that.
You were doing a lot of cocaine during that time. Pressures of the job.
Story about a bunny.
Tell us a story about a bunny, then. Clearly, my story's not good enough.
Well, the only bunny story I know is...
Fufu?
No, one time on the farm, we...
I don't like how this is going to go.
Yeah, you know, we had several cats on the farm, and one of the cats... Actually, we didn't have any cats for a long time. Then we found a cat in a tree, and she became kind of our cat, and she had a bunch of kittens, and so after that, we've always had cats on the farm. But this cat, this mother cat of all the cats on our farm... she often would let us know in a way where when she'd had kittens and would kind of lead us to them so we'd know where they were. And one time she did that, and they were out in one of the sheds. There was some hay, the straw out there, and that's where she had the kittens bedded down. And in among the kittens was a bunny, maybe more than one. Now, usually she hunted and ate rabbits and little baby bunnies. But she nursed these bunnies. She was nursing them. We have pictures of it, too, because we thought that was so strange. And I don't know what, you know, maybe eventually she did decide, okay, time to eat you guys or something.
Seriously, you don't know how this ends?
No, I don't.
God damn it. You and the producer, you don't, you end your stories way too early.
I'm sorry. I mean, we, like I said, we saw these bunnies and she was nursing them and we thought it was interesting. We took some pictures. And then, you know, obviously, eventually the cats were running around. They were old enough. And we went back. And the
bunnies should be running around, too.
Well, maybe they were. Story. Maybe they did. I don't know. Or maybe she...
You really should have kept an eye on this.
Got to a point where she thought, all right, time to eat you guys. And she ate them.
Set up a webcam or something.
Webcam?
Yes.
This was like in the 70s or early 80s.
They still had spider webs.
Anyway, you know, eventually the bunnies were gone, so... I think we presumed that they were eaten. That eventually she realized, hey, these aren't kittens. These are food. And she killed them and ate them. Because that's what cats do. But maybe she didn't.
That's a terrible story.
I'm sorry, but that's the only bunny story I know.
I'm going to tell a story. Once upon a time, there was a bunny that was anthropomorphized for the sake of a video game. And in this video game, the creators, being aware that bunnies have plantigrade feet, determined that the only way these anthropomorphized bunnies could walk bipedally were on really tall, high, thin stiletto heels. By the way, all the anthropomorphized bunnies were girls. And even the ones that were badasses who, like, were warriors and stuff went around in these super, super high heels because of their plantigrade feet. Not because of sexism, not because of misogyny and male gaze, but because of biology and their poor plantigrade feet.
What about the female gaze?
There were probably some of those, too, but mostly male gaze. And then, so that's how you get... Slut bunnies, I guess. I don't even know. It was weird. I remember playing Final Fantasy XII and being like, why does the bunny girl have high heels on? And then eventually I like saw the way her feet were and I'm like, oh. That's the tissue paper thin excuse for putting her in fuck me pumps. While she's shooting her bow and arrow and things like this. So, that's the story.
That's all I got.
Bunny Foo Foo. Good story. Let me explain to you. So, little Bunny Foo Foo would hop through the forest.
Through the forest?
Yes, hop through the forest.
Not through the grasslands or the...
No, forest.
And through the forest.
And sort of as a diversion pastime, little Bunny Foo Foo would scoop up the field mice. I'm not sure what they were doing in the forest.
Now scooping up that almost implies that there's lots of them. Like there was a good number.
I feel like it was. I feel like it was like yeah, there was just like a pile of field mice in the forest.
Yeah,
and you just scoop
up them right up,
and then little Bunny Foo Foo would. I don't know. Not smack exactly, not put. Mm. Sort of bop them on the head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why. but little funny Foo does this for a while, and down comes the good fairy. You know the good fairy, right? You've met
the good fairy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At that thing we had at work before. Yeah, the good fairy. Down comes the good fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Or came, I should say. Switching tense is weird. And says to Little Bunny Foo Foo, says, Little Bunny Foo Foo, I mean, name, you know. I don't want to see you. Sorry. For those of you just joining us, that's weird. No, what happened is the computer crashed, but now it's back.
Right.
And we recovered the bit we missed, which you would know because you just listened to it. So,
and you were just saying...
About the good fairy.
The fairy, okay.
Down came the good fairy. She said, Little Bunny Fufu said, Little Bunny Fufu, I don't want to see you scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Now, when she said that, did she mean, I just don't want to see you doing, you can do it, that's fine, I just don't want to see it.
You have a little twitch in your lips as though you've done this like three times.
Because,
already.
What is that? Or did she have a problem with bopping?
I don't know if it was the combination of scooping and bopping. I don't know if it was a personal issue. I don't know if the good fairy. I wasn't there. I'm not familiar with the situation. Their relationship was, you know, tense at best.
Okay.
All I know is the good fairy, she gave Little Bunny Fufu sort of an ultimatum about this.
Yeah.
Said, I believe, that she said she would give Little Bunny Fufu three chances. And then she would turn Little Bunny Fufu into a goon.
Three chances to comply?
I would assume.
And then if he failed to comply, then he...
I assume.
But if he complied, he wouldn't be turned into a goon.
I would hope so. It'd be weird otherwise.
So all he had to do was keep scooping up field
mice. Really, no, you make up a good point. She didn't say, I'll give you three chances, or... She said, and I'll turn you in. Wait. I'm not sure what she said. Let's go with that.
Well, anyway, okay, all Bunny Fufu had to do was simply not be seen doing it.
Yeah.
Could keep doing it if he wanted to.
In
private. Just don't.
Scooping up field mice.
Right.
In the forest.
Just don't do it out in public.
Yes. While hopping. I don't know if hopping was part
kind
of it.
Kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing.
A bit. We're here. We scoop up field mice and bop them on the head. Get used to it. Bunny Fufu did not stop.
And also was quite public about it, I take it.
Yeah.
Wow. Really saying, hey, I'm gonna scoop up field mice and bop them right in front of you, probably.
I feel like...
Very defiant.
In essence, Bunny Fufu... it was a little Bunny Fufu. Big Bunny Fufu was not involved at all.
Just
Big Bunny Fufu was away on business, I believe.
Okay.
Little Bunny Fufu essentially acted as though Little Bunny Fufu had not even heard the Good Fairy.
Oh.
I don't think that's the case. I think this was an attitude issue. I mean, I feel like Little Bunny Fufu heard the Good Fairy.
Kind of daring the fairy to see.
A little bit. Yeah. I think it was a passive-aggressive kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
right. Because, you know, bunnies can be like that.
It went on for some time in exactly the same way. I mean exactly the same way for at least, like, three more verses. I mean, like, three more episodes.
Did the fairy ever say, okay, that's one, and, like, give...
I believe
a countdown?
The fairy sort of, yeah, counted down.
Okay.
And it was a little weird of the fairy, because the fairy didn't say, you know, you have lost one of your three or whatever. The fairy kept switching to, now I'll give you two chances, like what happened is in the past.
Right.
Until...
I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it further, that kind of thing.
Really, it was very much a sort of, yeah. So... So in this analogy, Little Bunny Fufu is Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure you got that straight. Somehow, that to me is so much more fascinating than the Good Fairy being Darth Vader.
You know, sometimes you have to change the story a little.
Little Bunny Fufu as Lando Calrissian.
And the Good Fairy is Darth Vader.
There's something deep in there. let's leave it. But no, so then we get... After three instances of
three?
This.
Three? Okay. So now it's...
The Good Fairy was... I mean, it's a thing. You know, it's like with parenting. You say don't or there will be consequences.
Yeah.
And the Good Fairy said, I gave you three chances.
I warned you. Yep.
Now
it's on you.
So now I'll turn you to goon.
Yep.
And I believe that is what happened.
Bunny Fufu was transformed
into
goon.
Bunny Fufu,
little one, yeah,
was turned into Little Bunny Goon Goon.
Well, you know, maybe.
No, but here's the thing, and I think this is what makes this sort of a heartwarming and inspirational story.
Oh, okay.
So, Little Bunny Goon Goon, after this, I mean, monumental, just existential change. I mean, Little Bunny Foo Foo to Little Bunny Goon Goon. I mean, your whole life changes in an instant like that.
Maybe that's what Foo Foo wanted.
Well, but Little Bunny Goon Goon kept hopping through the forest.
Yeah.
Scooping up field mice.
Yeah.
Bopping them on the head.
Sure, I mean.
Just kept living the dream. Like, Foo Foo, Goon Goon, didn't matter.
I have a feeling that being...
When you have a calling.
Yeah, I have a feeling of being turned into a goon only made it easier to scoop
goons,
up.
Goons have general... I mean, it's getting a little racist, but yes. Biologically speaking, statistically speaking, goon goons are a little better at scooping.
Than bunnies.
Yeah, and probably than foo-foos.
A little better at bopping, probably. I mean, let's be honest. I know we're pushing it, but...
I have met some goon goons who can't bop for shit.
Oh, no, that's... I really find that hard to believe.
There are some. I'm not going to... I don't like to make those kind of generalizations.
I realize that.
I'm really kind of uncomfortable with this whole line.
We don't have to be PC here. I mean, this is your... This is a podcast that you're in.
the goon goons often are good at bopping.
Yeah. Better than bunnies, anyway.
You know the weird thing? I feel like people are going to read this as like a very specific cover for something really horrible. It's clearly by Goon Goon he meant.
It's just a story about bunnies.
About bunnies. It's Blood Sparrow's fault. And it really is, because we've gotten a lot
of
time.
That's an interesting story.
About a bunny.
I think that's just what the bunny wanted to happen. I thought the bunny possibly. Wait. So let me get this straight. If I keep doing this, you're going to turn me into a goon, which is what I wish I was anyway. That's why I'm doing this all the time. Maybe the fairy was... Maybe it wasn't a threat. Maybe it was a promise. Hey, Bunny Foo Foo, I see what you're doing here, but I don't think you're committed to this goon behavior. So if you can do it three times,
but
then I will believe you're really committed to it, and I will turn you into a goon.
But she
just
said,
like Pinocchio wanted to be a real boy.
But she said she didn't want to see it.
Well, maybe it was like reverse psychology. Like, you know, possibly. She knew that he would
possibly.
Like
be, and...
Like, maybe she said, look, you're not a goon, you're a bunny. So, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this, so you need to stop.
Even, they're all bunny. There's Bunny Foo Foo and Bunny Goon Goon. Still a bunny. Oh. It's Foo Foo versus Goon Goon. And I hate myself right now. So much.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of nuance in this story that, you know.
Is there a lot
really
of nuance?
Lends itself to a lot of interpretations.
In this story. How do we even have one listener?
I don't know. I don't know. We have more than one.
I know, but
it's not us, it's them. So, you know.
Oh, come on, they're just as bad.
The worse we make this show, the less often maybe they'll ask us to do this for them. That's really the goal, isn't it?
I think we have to drop the bar pretty far
well,
for that to happen.
If anyone can do it, we can.
Mm.
I guess we can draw another one, huh? Now you have to audition.
There is time.
Well, let me draw one and let's get this over with. Well, thanks for that stirring rendition of the ever-popular...
Bunny story.
Bunny Foo Foo story.
What do you mean? That's not popular. That's my story.
Well, if you've told it, it's popular. Just because you...
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Kia B.
He said... Shifting his glasses like Charles Nelson Reilly.
Dear the Magical Talking Hats, what is your first musical memory? Like, of an actual musical, or?
I imagine, like, one day I was going to school, and suddenly all the townsfolk started dancing.
What's the earliest song you remember? And that's an interesting question, because... My earliest memories involve I was 2 years old. Actually, I was probably a little younger than that. My grandfather played the harmonica while when there was only two of us that could, like, move around. The youngest was still a baby. But we would sort of dance and stuff. What he played, or, you know, if he was just improvising, that I don't remember. I also remember going to his funeral, where I'm certain someone performed, or perhaps the whole church sang How Great Thou Art, which was his favorite hymn. I don't remember that. There was also some songs on the radio that that we kids enjoyed and sang on occasion. I don't remember that, except that my parents taped us singing them. So,
are you sure it wasn't earlier kids that they had and got rid of?
No, it was us. And it was the specific one song in specific that we sang that they recorded that we sang all the time because we loved it was Delta Dawn.
Of course.
And so somewhere there's a tape of my brother Scott and me singing this song together.
Nice.
Delta Dawn.
I always love that kind of stuff. When I was in college, my best male friend in college, gentleman by the name of Graham, it took like 3 years of college before we finally found this out, but he brought in a VHS tape that his family had that was of a public access exercise program, like an aerobics kind of thing. And this particular episode, they thought it was fun. They had an instructor in the front, and then they had like 20 children, like, you know, age 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there, doing aerobics, including him. And he, besides looking ridiculous, because it was, you know, it would have been the 80s, and he was in aerobics wear as a small child, was about almost exactly 3 beats behind on every routine. So it wasn't that he got confused, he was just always 3 beats behind. So everybody would switch, 3 beats later he would switch. It was really amazing. I love the when you get old enough that you can appreciate looking like an idiot when you were a kid.
Oh, you know
I'm guessing you didn't sing it super well is what I'm saying.
Delta Dawn?
Yeah.
Oh no, we sang it really good.
Really?
And also, my mom used to write things down about us, you know, like in a book. She kept memories of our growing up and things mm-hmm, that we did mm-hmm, and said. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, she said that at a pretty young age, I was singing songs I heard on television, on Hee Haw, but also like TV commercial jingles and stuff.
Mm.
That might actually predate Delta Dawn, but I don't know for sure. TV commercials. I don't know which TV commercials. She probably wrote that down too, but I don't remember what it was.
My very, very first musical memory, I'm fairly certain, my mother used to make up songs that she would sing to me with nonsense words. And one of those is, I think, my first musical memory. My mother singing a song that the lyrics, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I believe the lyrics go, "My little Tony is a Tony Baroni." And then a little section where you go, "Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch- of macaroni.
And we all know how silly macaroni is. It's just crazy.
Yeah, this was the type of song. I seem to remember that. The first, and I think it, this was a long ways along, but the first thing I can remember of a real, like, on the radio, like, actually published kind of song is probably, there must have been earlier ones. The only one that really sticks out as memory now is Take On Me from A-ha, because my sister would listen to it. I listened to a lot of 80s pop music.
Boy,
because of my sister and my brother.
Whenever you say things like that, it just reminds me how far apart in age we
are. Yes, yes.
Wow.
I was born in 1977. You were born in 1877.
I was born in 1969.
You're see, old, Marzipan.
While you're being
That's
born,
what I'm saying. You're
I'm
old.
Enjoying Star Wars in the theater and Superman in the theater.
No, literally, while I'm being born, you're enjoying Star Wars in the theater. Yeah. Same year.
Yeah, exactly. I feel sorry for you. You had to watch it later on a tiny little screen and much, much later on a big screen after it was all changed. I suppose you saw it on video.
I feel sorry for me also. It was a long time before I saw Star Wars. I knew Star Wars. I had Star Wars figures and stuff. I played with them all the time. Actually seeing, specifically, the original Star Wars. I think I probably saw Empire before I saw the original Star Wars.
Well,
because I remember being, I think, in daycare, and it was on TV, and me going, huh, I never actually seen this.
Han shoots first.
I've heard that.
It's absolutely true. I don't care what George Lucas
I've says. I've always felt that was a euphemism.
No, he did.
I hear you have a shirt that says that.
I do. Because
some people got it for you. And then you got them a stuffed bunny with a switchblade.
I really don't remember that.
God damn it.
In your shirt was me.
Who else?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Trish, maybe? I don't know.
If it's Trish, I'll tell you this, I am in some deep shit. But I'm fairly certain she thinks it was you, too, so.
Okay, maybe I did. Because, I mean, I don't remember things very good, you know that.
Mm. All right.
That's well, it. Thanks, Craig, Blood Sparrow, and Kiabi.
And by the end, I'm hoping some part of this is understandable. If it's not, come find us. We're in a different dimension.
But if you also would like to be on the show, not that we care, but maybe you'd like to submit a question or comment to the hat. How do they do that again?
In there.
Email yourself.
The magical talking hat.
The magical talking hat.
At gmail.com.
Yes. Or if you want to make a comment about what you've heard, because people do that sometimes. You want to go to the blog, right?
Yes.
At
themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Right.
It.com. All right, now get out of here. We're sick of looking at you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm sick of looking at you, too, but I wasn't telling you that.
Right.
I tried to spare your feelings.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.